Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down! Tell me what to do.
The intro song today was dedicated to Sister Jean, and on that note, this is gonna be a strange episode of Stop Lying About Fitz podcast. I'm Brian Kipperman here with Kevin Lewis. See, the issue here is all that I want to do is talk about Michigan and the Final Four. And Kev, how many players on Michigan can you name?
Zero.
How many minutes have you spent watching them in the tournament?
Maybe 15.
Total. Like, not even total. Like 15 game minutes. Like,
no, total.
Yeah.
No, total. No, yeah, nah, 15 game minutes is about right. Like five of the game where they hit the game winner. And then 10 last week.
So I don't really know how we're going to do this, but we're going to figure it out. We're going to get into the Beckham stuff with the Giants and Ndamukong Suh with the Jets also, but we are going to start with Michigan. I went to Los Angeles. I was actually at the Texas A&M game and the Florida State game. The Sweet 16 game was whacked. The Staples Center was empty for that. It really wasn't a good crowd. I don't know how much it came off on TV when you were watching on Saturday. It was like Ann Arbor invaded Los Angeles. That place, that was one of the best atmospheres I've ever been to for a game. It was a ton of fun.
I mean, it looked like it was mostly Michigan fans. Was that? I had it on mute, so I didn't really hear what was going on, but...
So, where it goes, so now Michigan's playing Loyola, Chicago... in the Final Four, and what John Beilein has done with this Michigan program is pretty incredible. We're going to play a game. I think this is an easy way to do this. I'm going to read off what Michigan has done the last 6 years under Beilein. And so this is now their second Final Four with one championship game. They've made the Sweet 16... four times. They've made the Elite Eight three times. And the 2 years they did not make it to the Sweet 16, their best player was essentially hurt the entire season. Both of those years. And this is a crazy good run. So here's what I want to do. I don't think there's five better programs in the country than Michigan right now in totality in college basketball. And I don't think most people would say that. I think they're legitimately one of the most underrated programs in the country, and Beilein's built pretty much a powerhouse here, but he's done it in an unusual way because outside of Charles Matthews, and he ended up being a transfer, he's not doing this on the back of like five-star recruits. He's typically getting some decent four-star recruits and then just guys that he's developing and turning into better players than people expect. Going into college. So what I want you to do is you can name let's do five other teams. You can pick out any team in the country and I bet their past six seasons aren't as good as Michigan.
How many championships has Michigan won in that time frame?
They haven't. They have okay. to win. So it like if they win this year would really be the finishing touches on the resume.
Yeah.
Like that's the last thing that's missing on that.
Yeah, I mean, how could they be a top six program with no rings, sir?
Because college, it's the tournament is a bunch of, it's stupid luck.
Yeah, but they have no titles. What are we talking about?
I'm not doing titles argument right now.
You asked me to participate.
And we're not turning this into titles argument. All right.
Why not?
Because I'm not doing it.
I know how to participate.
You're ridiculous.
This discussion, Brian.
All right, so we're going to name five schools. You're going to name – let's start with one. Which one – give me a school you think over the past 6 years could have been better than Michigan. You can name any school in the country.
Yo, pick any of them that have won championships. Any of them.
Will you play the damn game? Pick a school.
North Carolina.
Okay. So North Carolina over the last 6 years. They're going to be better. They have won a national title. Let's see. Yeah, so like that, this is a good example. Roy Williams, they have without a doubt been better. Over the last 6 years, this year was North Carolina's worst year. They lost in the second round. They made the Sweet 16 five times. They've made the Final Four three times. The national championship game twice. Okay, wait, no, they've made the Final Four twice. The Elite Eight three times. National championship game twice also. Won one, lost one. That's a better resume than Michigan. So North Carolina has been a better program than Michigan over the last 6 years. All right, give me four more to go. Let's see if you can get four more that beats them.
Oh, my God. Duke.
Why you got to pick the loser schools? Well, Duke, the loser school.
Yeah, Michigan State with their zero WAP titles, they're winners. Yeah.
They are.
Uh-huh.
Damn straight.
Right.
All right. Duke over the last 6 years. All right. So they have won one national title, made the Elite Eight three times, the second round twice, and the only time they've won one title, so Sweet 16 three times, lost in the second round. So, like, this is a great example. If Michigan wins the national title this year, their resume the last 6 years is pretty much comparable to Duke's. It's pretty much the same exact thing. Like, that's wild. That's crazy.
Sure. We'll win the title first. And then
all right,
we can talk.
Three more.
Kansas?
Let's see. So they're in the Final Four this year. Can they beat Villanova, please? Please? Like, I'm begging them to beat Villanova. Begging.
I'm begging Loyola to win.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Because you're going to have a meltdown, and that makes for good radio.
The best player on Loyola's is like named after a fucking dessert. They can't lose to that and some wrinkly old lady. Like, come on.
Yo, leave her alone.
No,
yo.
I will not.
Leave her alone. Like, at least until it comes out that she's racist, because that's bound to happen, right? Just leave her alone.
Nope.
Just leave her alone.
I am not.
Like, you're way out of line, Brian.
I am not.
Way out of line. You're
never.
Way out of line.
Never out of line.
Way out of line.
So Kansas has made, I think, I don't know, I'm done with this. Michigan's better than Kansas, too. How about that?
Win a title.
No fucking shit. I want them to. So this is the fourth time in my life that Michigan... I don't count 89 because I don't remember and I wasn't a fan at that point. So since I've been following the team, this is the fourth time Michigan has made the Final Four. They win the first game and then they lose the second game. They've done that each time. And each time it was just brutally painful. Do you even know, let's see if they, you know this, do you know who are the teams they've lost to in the... in the championship game.
Come on. Why would I know that?
You should know this. This isn't a hard
trick. I should not know this.
Yes, you should.
No, I should.
Yes, you never watched the Fab Five documentary?
Yeah, you're expecting me to remember who the opponent was when they lost? What, North Carolina, was it?
Yeah, there's one. The timeout game.
And the second one...
That was the second one.
Okay, then. Forget it. I'm never going to get the first one, so...
Duke, you should know that the whole thing... Like, half of the Fab Five documentary was about that. And the latest one, you know, the Trey Burke team. Who'd they lose to?
No idea.
Louisville. Rick Pitino. And it technically didn't count. Because Rick Pitino had sex with a waitress in, like, a restaurant somewhere or something. Didn't Rick Pitino bang, like, his... Didn't he bang, like, his assistant coach's wife or something like that? Is that a real thing, or am I just making that up?
I think you're making that up. I don't think that happened. Hold on. I'm not sure.
Somebody can correct me on that. I'm not sure. Sex at a restaurant. I'm typing that in on Google right now.
You're really Googling this right now.
Yes, I am.
Oh my God, bro.
Rick Pitino testifies about sex with woman accused of extortion. Yes, the woman that he did was married to one of Pitino's assistants. That's a real thing. I wasn't making that up.
Wow.
Good person that is. All right, I don't know how I got over there, but back to
because they lost to Louisville in the final four.
Oh yeah, that's it.
And you're saying it didn't count?
Well, no, I'm not. I'm not one of those people that pays attention to shit like that. Louisville's the national champion from that year. It doesn't just like this. Are you eating?
Yes.
What are you eating?
Oatmeal.
I mean, you can't wait till after the fucking podcast?
I warmed that shit up right when you hit me. You said 1 o'clock, motherfucker.
Dude, I had to work. I had to go to the dispensary for a work meeting.
Yeah, that's fine. But you
and then I got home and I want to go back to bed because I'm tired and I'm on like 4 hours
in the microwave
sleep.
Right when you were like, let's just do this. I'm like, fuck, man. Damn it.
So, all right, we're back to Michigan.
Yes.
So I think they'll beat, I do think they should beat Loyola Chicago. Villanova is the best team in the country. It's just, but I don't think it's out. I think Michigan can beat them, but it will take them playing at their best. I do think, like, if you put odds on, like, it's way more likely that Villanova will play their peak game rather than Michigan play there at their best when those two teams play. Because Villanova, I think, is a little bit better than them. And that would probably play out. But it's not out of the question that Michigan's defense is just so good that it's going to carry them to this title. Which is just, it's nuts because Beeline's teams have always been built around their offense. And now they're the best defensive team in the country left that now that Virginia's not in the tournament anymore. And they're just they out-athlete people. Their point guard, Xavier Simpson's a 5'3 dude. And he just rips the ball out of people's hands like Charles Tillman used to when he was playing safety for the Bears and forcing like 8 turnovers a game. It's really fun to watch, and it's a joy seeing this team get to where they are. And I really just win the fucking title, guys, please. I've gotten to celebrate. So the teams. When the Rangers won in 94, I was 10 years old, and I legitimately cared about that. Some of the younger Yankee titles, like the first one, and a couple of those in the late 90s, baseball was still not my favorite sport, but I really did care. And I got to see Michigan split a national title in football. And I was all into. But outside of that, those, like, the later, like, the when they beat the Phillies, like, I really stopped pretending to like them, and I just kind of follow the Yankees, and it's, if they win, it's cool, if they lose, it's not. Like, to actually see one of the teams I really care about win a title would be really, really cool.
And to see them lose to Loyola would be even cooler. I'm here for that.
Not even funny.
It's very funny.
No.
It'd be very funny if they lost.
Another thing that's not funny. Another thing that's not funny is what Giants – well, actually, that will be funny. Something that will be funny is going to be Giants fans' reactions if they trade Odell Beckham Jr. So, did you see the Schefter report?
Which one? From today or yesterday?
Today.
That they would need at least two firsts?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw it.
So – Let's start here. What are there any teams that are positioned that it would make sense for them to trade two first round picks to get Beckham?
The Browns. That's it. That's literally it. The Browns. That's it. Like they collected assets for what? Like to do something like this, right?
Do you know what the problem with it is?
What's that?
You can't. I don't think you can trade a pick that high. The two first rounders. I wouldn't trade the first.
Says who?
That's if I was running the Browns, I wouldn't trade the first or four or the fourth. It would have to be.
I'm not trading the first. I'm just picking the quarterback of my choice and moving on with it.
But that's what I wouldn't even.
Trading the first.
I would rather take the edge rusher. The offensive lineman or the corner.
Is any of those people at four going to be as good as Odell Beckham? It's a simple, straightforward question.
No, but I wouldn't. Okay. But you have to pay him, and I wouldn't give up that premium of a pick.
Browns have how much cap space? Who gives a fuck if they got to pay him? Who
else they gonna pay? I'm fine with paying him, but not for. I would want to give up my next year pick in the 2020. I wouldn't give up one or four.
I would give up four. You can have four. I mean, not for a wide receiver.
Not when I have Corey Coleman, Landry, and Josh Gordon already. They have.
You mean Josh Gordon, who's one failed drug test away from expulsion. Jarvis Witten, who averages 9 yards a catch, and Corey Coleman, who's proven nothing.
The Rams is the there's two I look at. The Rams, who have been linked, I think makes a lot of sense. The Panthers. The Panthers should trade two first round picks for Odell Beckham. That's a later first round pick. They're going to be a good team again next year, you'd assume. And so that'd be like two mid to late first round picks. That's a team that I think it would make a lot of sense to give up two firsts for Beckham.
Sure, I think the Browns would make sense. I think the Panthers would make sense.
The Packers.
The Rams would make sense. The Packers would make sense, but the Packers, they're hell bent on wasting Aaron Rodgers' time, so we could eliminate them from this.
The Ravens?
No, absolutely not.
Why not? They need
that one quarterback.
But that shouldn't stop you from.
Yes, it should.
No, it should. You used to make the opposite argument when it came to the Jets.
Huh?
You used to make the opposite argument all the time when it came to the Jets. What are they supposed to not add good players just because they don't have the quarterback?
No. It's one thing if you're signing them, like you're outright trading first round picks when your quarterback's Joe Flacco. That's backwards, bro. Like you're trading two firsts with Joe Flacco as your quarterback? No, that can't work. Like Cam Newton's one thing. All right, fine, whatever. Aaron Rodgers, sure. Whoever the Browns pick at one, okay, go for it. Joe Flacco? No, I'm not trading two first rounders. To pay Odell Beckham to watch Joe Flacco hit, miss him left, miss him right, miss him high, miss him low.
What about the Lions?
That would make more sense than the Ravens. I'll tell you that.
The Titans are another one.
Yo, they took Eric Ebron over Odell Beckham. Imagine being that stupid. Imagine.
Isn't there some revisionist history about Beckham? Like, no one knew he was going to be this. Like people liked him coming out of college. Let's stop pretending like anyone.
I don't. There's no revision for me.
Like, I'm just talking about in general. Was it though? Eric Ebron was a really well respected prospect.
Eric Ebron's a tight end. Can we stop? He's a fast tight end. Great, cool. Like I'm not saying he was a bad prospect. I'm saying they shouldn't have picked him over Odell Beckham. And I was saying that when they didn't. So this is not revisionist. It's not like other people are, Watkins went three. How could that have happened? No, that's revisionism. Everybody loved Watkins coming out of college. That's revisionism.
But it was still – but I also think people still thought the Bills trading up for him was dumb, as much as we all.
No, of course. I'm just talking about the player itself, not so much what they did to get him, but where he went at that time, and Evans too, to a lesser degree. But right, Evans has actually been dominant to some degree at the NFL level.
So now from the Giants' perspective, and this seems real to me. Like, there's enough noise that I do think that I'm not saying it's 100% going to happen, but I do think it's a possibility. And like, what's this dude Gettleman's plan here? Trade away my best players, reinvest more time in Eli, draft a running back profit? Like, is that what we're doing here?
I don't know. I mean, if they really think that having the number two pick in this class and still going and still quote unquote committing to Eli is the way to go, they're quite dumb. But if you don't like any of these guys better than Davis Webb, which I would find absolutely preposterous, but if you don't like any of them, I don't think you should force it just to do it either. But it shouldn't be because of Eli.
Well, the Giants should take a quarterback because they're most likely not going to pick two again. And it's going to be really hard for them.
I agree with you. I don't know what their evaluations say, though. If they don't like any of them...
Yeah, but why should we care what their evaluations are? Because NFL teams have proven... NFL teams have proven time and time again that they're idiots when it comes to quarterbacks.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm not saying I agree with them. I'm saying if they don't like any of these quarterback prospects, you don't just take one or two just to do it. Like, that's how you end up with Blake Bortles. Taking a quarterback just to fucking do it. Like, that's how you end up with that. Like, no.
But I think we all agree that these are all better prospects than Blake Bortles.
I like all of them outside of Alice. Like, I like all the prospects. I wouldn't do it if that was in their scenario. But I don't think they'd skip on a quarterback for the right reasons. That's my problem with it. Not problem. I hope they skip on quarterback. But you get what I'm saying. Like, I don't. If you're doing it because you think Eli has juice left, that's a stupid reason to skip on quarterback.
It's amazing to me that we're at this point. Beckham, I mean, he was injured last year. In 12 games as a rookie, this dude had 91 catches for 1,300 yards and 12 TDs. Year two, 96 catches, 1,450 yards, 13 TDs. Year three, 101 catches, 1,360 yards, and 10 TDs. And then he was hurt last year. Like, these numbers are nuts, and he's doing it with a shitty QB. Like, the dude legitimately has a chance.
He's the most talented receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, like, he arguably has a chance to be the greatest receiver of all time. Like, is that going to happen? Is he going to have too many injuries? Is the quarterback... Like, there's all sorts of variables that come with it. But at 25 years old and what he's accomplished to this point, it's not out of the question that there's, like, a path where that happens. And the Giants are... Like, the team... Forget... Like, the Josh Brown stuff we all know about. But, like, dude, I can appreciate that Brandon Marshall got his life together off the field and he acknowledged that he had issues and, from what we can see, he's fixed those problems. And he's trying to help other people who are going through the same stuff as him. But they signed him. And they brought him into that locker room. But Beckham's a problem? Like, there's just something so weird about how they're handling all. I mean, this is the organization. I've brought up this point before. But Bill Parcells is the dude who said different players have different rules. Or Bill Belichick, one of those dudes, said that.
I'm pretty sure it was Parcells.
The Giants very much went through that with Lawrence Taylor. And now the world is different now. And the things LT did during his career, the repercussions of it would be totally different because of the cell phone culture and being able to take pictures anywhere and everywhere. But yep. It's just something's just off about how they're handling this entire situation, and it's weird, and I can't pinpoint what's going on.
I mean, it's a very selective moral compass, with the Giants, just like with every other franchise, like they have certain things they will deal with as opposed to certain.
But you usually
deal with it when it comes to somebody that good.
Yeah, that's
so. It's very strange what's going on. Like he hasn't gotten arrested. Like he hasn't been overtly disrespectful or to the brand or organization. He hasn't done anything embarrassing like that. And yet they're just
Cab.
Yeah.
Me and you might not consider what happened in that hotel room embarrassing, but I do think there's a subset of people who do.
I don't care about those people.
But when you're talking about it from a big picture perspective, from this, you do have to acknowledge that there are some people who consider smoking a blunt and doing lines to be disrespectful.
to who? Who is it disrespecting?
Himself.
This is a victimless girl, because he's disrespecting himself by being around pretty women in hotel rooms?
No, I didn't say anything about the pretty woman aspect of it. It was the coke and the weed.
This is a victimless crime. He's disrespectful to who?
To the org. People can think he's being disrespectful to the organization by not being more careful about what he's doing in his off time. Not the act of what he's doing, but that he was dumb enough to put himself in the situation where what he was doing became public.
The man got filmed doing something in his private time. Who is he disrespecting?
Dude.
How is he disrespecting anybody?
The benefits are so vast that you give in and you deal with it. But being a celebrity fucking sucks, man.
Yeah.
I just want to do cocaine and smoke weed in peace.
I mean, that's why you got to go to Jira. I know you don't like Jira, blah, 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 whatever. Like, you come into my hotel room or you come into my presence, you put your cell phone in a basket, and you'll get it after you're done. That's it.
Like, you really do have to do that.
You really have to do that, because you could avoid shit like this, and you could avoid potentially getting extorted. Because I'm sure that that's what happened. Well, I'm not sure, but I think that that's what happened. That person probably was like, "Hey, I'll refuse to release this video if you just give me X amount of money." He was like, "Yeah, no, I'm good." And then she was like, "Okay, well, bet, okay." And then she released it. Just had to put this up onto the basket. Be done with it. That's all. We're in 2018. We're in the social media era. We're in the Snapchat era. We're in the everybody takes pictures of everything era. You can't be that loose with it. Now, I just don't care, because he wasn't. It's not like I can understand to some degree if he had like five women in his hotel room and they were shaking their asses in front of his face and he was just acting a complete fool. You know, he was sitting there. What do you want?
Wait, what's being a fool about that? That sounds tremendous.
No, I mean,
sounds like a great night.
No, it is, sure. I can understand how being filmed doing that could be disrespectful. I could. I'm not going to make a big deal of it, because that's probably every Wednesday night for these dudes. Like, I don't care. But I can understand why an older fan or a woman fan would be like, yeah, you know, I don't really like that look, you know. He just doesn't, he looks like a misogynist with all these women shaking that, like. And that's a path I'm not really trying to go down. But you get what I'm saying. Like, he was just sitting there eating. The worst thing about the damn video was the pizza. The pizza looked absolutely horrible. That was the worst thing about the video.
Wasn't it in, like, France that's or something?
That's disrespectful. Huh?
Wasn't it in France or something?
I don't care.
I can't imagine. Do they have good pizza in France? I'm not cultured enough.
That pizza looked awful. That was the worst thing about that video. Outside of that, I just don't get it. Like, Lawrence Taylor is the best player in your franchise history, for one. For two, like, the Giants way or whatever the ownership and the silly fans want to peddle. Like, that's what led to you guys taking Eli Apple. You don't want to change? I don't understand. Like, you don't think they could use Laremy Tunsil at this point?
Is Tunsil y'all pass
on him because of that video?
Is he good?
He's been pretty good for Miami. Like, he ain't great by any means, but he's been pretty solid for a two-year tackle. Yeah, he's been pretty good.
I don't even know. I'm not an offensive line expert.
And even if he's been average, he sure as hell beats Eli Apple. Mr. Mama's boy himself sure as hell beats him.
I was about to say, does he beat Eli Apple's mom, though? Does he beat Eli Apple's mom, though?
God. I don't know. I just don't know with the Giants. This selective moral compass is annoying.
It's one of the really weirder situations we've seen in the NFL in a long time. And they're basically trying to get what the Bengals at one time passed up for Chad Johnson. The Redskins offered them 2 first-rounders for him, and they said no. And that exemplifies the Bengals so very perfectly.
Yeah, it does.
The Jets. All right, back to our team. There's something I don't get. I feel like there's the... So the Jets pulled their offer for Ndamukong Suh, and everyone's like making a big deal that the Jets didn't want to get embarrassed by them by having a player pass up on the money they're offering, or they didn't want to get used as like a negotiating chip by Sue and have the deal shopped around. I don't understand that angle. Just on multiple levels, just doesn't make any sense to me. One, so the first aspect's very simple. So what if he picks another team? You just pick up your shit and you move on. It happened with Kirk Cousins. Did Tremaine Johnson not take their fat bag of money because Kirk Cousins said no to them? Or did he take the money and is he now a New York Jet?
I mean...
That's a yes or no question.
I honestly didn't even hear the question. I was about to go on a tangent. What was the question?
Did Tremaine Johnson take the Jets' bag of money or not?
Yes, he did.
So, right there, we're already disproving the angle that people care about. Players across the league care whether another player joined the team or decided to go somewhere else. That's in every aspect of life. People make decisions where they choose something or the next thing, and you just move on with your life. And if you're not what's chosen. Secondly, the idea of being used as a who cares? So what if they use your deal as a negotiator? You don't get them, you move along, and you forced another team to pay more money. What's embarrassing about that? If you're the Jets, you want other teams around the league to be spending more money than they should be on players, because maybe eventually that ends up helping you. Maybe the Rams and the Jets end up in a... I know this only ended up being a one-year deal, so it didn't matter in this case, but just in speaking in generalities, maybe they were bidding with the Rams for a player, and you got the Rams to go up and spend more money. And the next offseason, the Rams and Jets want the same player again, but this time the Jets have more money available, and the Rams have too much invested in this guy. They have to pay someone else, and now they can't afford that player. So why does it matter if your deal is getting used and chopped around the league and forcing other teams to pay more? Eventually, someone will take that money that you're offering, and then it'll be fine, and you'll have someone who wants to be on the team. I feel like we just make up stuff because you need a narrative to go along with just something that's simple. A player chose another team. All right? Who the fuck cares?
I mean, I just don't care if they pulled the offer for whatever their reason might be. I don't really care. I thought their the quote of "he just didn't fit into our plan" was ridiculous. Because, I mean, he was 31 last week. He's 31 today. You had the same roster you did last week that you do today. So I'm not sure what that was about. But the act itself of pulling the contract because you don't feel like there's a genuine interest on his behalf to be here, if that's what happened, I don't really see what the problem is. I understand what you're saying. Like, pulling the offer really doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't. Like, it's basically kind of like when a woman rejects you, and you're like, well, I didn't want her anyway. Like, it doesn't do anything. Like, you can say to yourself that that's what happened. Like, if it makes you feel better. But we know what happened. She ain't want you. She wanted somebody else. Sue didn't want to be here. He wanted to be somewhere else. Them pulling off, I guess, it might be an ego thing. Might be a pulling rank thing. I don't know what it is. I haven't heard of pulling offers like that when it comes to football free agency. Like, I've heard of people reneging. I've heard of that. I've never really heard of a team like, yeah, we're going to take our offer off the table. Like, they gave him a deadline like he's supposed to care, allegedly. Like, it's not a huge deal one way or the other. I mean, it's just a meaningless thing. They pulled an offer, so what?
And I would have been fine with him on the team. I agree with you. That's that they pulled the offer doesn't bother me either. It's just the way people are framing it that it's they're trying to create something out of nothing. That's just basic negotiating standards that NFL teams deal with every single year that really have no impact on your future. And it's trying to create, I feel like it's just trying to create filler space for stories, because something that's so just simplistic and meaningless needs like some meat to it. And it's just like an easy filler for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, did you hear Todd Bowles' quote yesterday, by the way?
I'm not even I just don't acknowledge Todd Bowles' success. Like,
No, take the time to acknowledge.
It's so dumb. That quote was. He's just an idiot.
He said we traded up, and we have six or seven guys. My motherfucker, you were picking six. What are you talking about? You were picking six. And then I had Jet Homers all up in my mentions yesterday because I said that was a Bozo quote. Oh, well, this is not a big, this is a smoke screen. What kind of shitty ass smoke screen is that?
It's not a smoke screen.
The quote does.
Here it is. It wasn't a smoke screen. The quote, it's going to disappear into thin air and will never matter. Todd Bowles is also a fucking idiot.
I know that.
So that's,
yeah, I mean, the fucking idiot might be strong. I'm not going to go that far with it. I think he's a bad coach. I'm not going to call the man stupid. All I'm going to say is that quote was fucking stupid. Stupid. Oh, we have six or seven players in line. Just say, yo, we have what we have on our board. You'll see.
Todd Bowles left Darrell Revis and Sammy Watkins one-on-one. He's an idiot.
Okay. All right. That's a very fair counterpoint that I can't really dispute.
Todd Bowles left Darrell Revis one-on-one with AJ Green. He is an idiot. Todd Bowles left Darrell Revis one-on-one with DeAndre Hopkins. He is an idiot.
I can't dispute that. You're right.
That's better. Now say it with me. Todd Bowles is an idiot.
No, you got it. I'm just going to say I'm not going to dispute it.
No, say it. Come on, it'll make you feel better. Let it flow.
Todd Bowles is a bad head coach.
That's an idiot.
I'll leave that to you, Brian.
No, get it. Come on, get it all out.
No, you got to go to work or something. Like, no, we don't have the kind of time that's going to take for me to do all of that.
All right.
Todd Bowles is a bad head coach.
All right, I'm done. You got anything else? These endings are just never going to be smooth. We're just going to make
these are so bad.
We're going to make them completely awful every single time.
I mean, not really. No, do you?
Frank Ntilikina is the greatest point guard.
Ntilikina. Pronounce his fucking name right.
Can you change his name to Burke? Trey Burke's way easier to say.
Yeah, did you see Trey Burke drop 40 the other day?
42.
I was watching at the gym and I almost fell off the treadmill laughing. Watching him just take every shot. I'm like, yo, what am I watching?
That was the peak Trey Burke Michigan experience. He was the best player on the court. He carried them the whole game, and then he went hero ball on an important possession and ruined it all. He did that so many times at Michigan. I was like, oh, I've watched this story before, or movie before. Yeah, you don't watch a story. You watch a movie. Did you know that? Okay. I'm glad everyone knows that. All right. And on that note, that's another edition of the Stop Lying About Fitz podcast.